Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, we adore you, we praise you, we worship you. Lord, we want to be like you. We want to be Jesus to other people, that they can see you through us, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the curiosity that brings us to discover new things, but most of all, that curiosity that you invoke in us so that we can learn to know you better. And I thank you for that, Lord. And may the words that I speak not be my words, but let them be your words, Lord. And may everyone here hear that message that they are to hear. Not that was my intention, but that is your intention, Lord. In your name I pray. Amen. Hi. So we are, is it picking up? Yep. Okay. So as was written in the bulletin, we're looking at Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 15. So I'm just going to look at portions of it today. All right. So before I get to this part, let's preface the environment. So it's like a month and a half since they've left Egypt. They've been through the Red Sea. God parted the Red Sea to let them through. So they saw this, you know, wonderful God that they have. Water, they got thirsty. God provided water for them as they were traveling along. But it's been a month and a half, right? And they're in the desert. And they're tired. They've been walking night and day. They're hot. They're hungry, they're thirsty, miserable, right? So, and the whole congregation of the people of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the people of Israel said to them, "Would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into the wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Right? They're grumbling, right? Big time grumbling. They're angry, right? And they projected their anger towards Moses and Aaron. And they're also thinking, you know, maybe Egypt wasn't so bad after all, right? Even though, you know, they had hard labor, extensive labor, all the stuff going on in Egypt, you know, killing the firstborn, all this kind of stuff going on, but maybe we should go back there. Because our alternative is that here we are, we're hungry, we're thirsty, we're tired, we're in this desert. This is the God who is saving us from Egypt and bringing us into this environment. What is this? What is this going on? That happens to us sometimes, right? Sometimes we're wondering, why is this happening to us? I don't know about you guys, but a couple of weeks ago, I was thinking about that when the hurricane was coming in, right? Why is it aimed at us? Why are we that name that's on the Weather Channel and it's heading right at us? Why is this? How do we adjust to that? Many of you, maybe like me, have been through the hurricanes, Francis and Jean, when we had to come back and see our homes destroyed and go through all this environment. Wow, things are different. Things are changing, but we need to adjust. Some of you may be familiar with this quote from Robert Frost. "Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled. And that has made all the difference." Sometimes when we take that normal path, we're just kind of like trucking along and not paying attention to what's going on. But when we get taken down a different road and we have to adjust, there's some learning that goes on there. Right? So what is this about? All right, well, here's a map. Kind of hard to see. So at the top is the Mediterranean Sea, and the bottom part down there looks like a little V of water. That is the Red Sea that they walked through, right? So right now they're over in Nile Delta, the orange tan side way over on the left side up towards the top of the water. So that's where they are. That's Egypt. And they want to go all the way up to the top of the map on the right side. That's their goal. That's where their promised land is. So it would make sense that the shortest route would be just to kind of like walk right along the Mediterranean Sea and get there, right? God didn't do that. He didn't take them on that route. But that would definitely be the road most traveled, right? But he didn't send them there. Why not? Okay. Actually, Exodus chapter 13 tells us, okay, verse 17, "When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines." Okay, the Philistines were right there. That was, if you were going to go through there, you were going to go through the Philistines, right? "Although that was near, for God said, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So even though it was the shortest path, there was war going on there. So was God going to take them out of what was going on in Egypt and then take them into a war environment? Well, I mean, you know, war can leave them just as the same position that they were back in Egypt, and it's a whole new environment. Maybe we're just that just as good staying where we are. Go back to Egypt and stay there. So there was a reason that made sense of why God did not take them that route. Instead, he took them down, and if you can see that whole wandering green line curving through there, that's the path that they took. So they get through the Red Sea, they're walking down on the Sinai Peninsula, they're down in the desert, they're wandering up and around, and eventually they get there. That's quite a path. Okay. Took a long time, right? Anybody know how many years that was? 40 years they were out there for all that wandering coming through. You know, that's a lot of time for God to work on them, to let them know who he is, and to mold them to be his people, right? He had their attention. They're in the desert. There's not a lot of people out there. It was just them, for the most part. So they weren't lonely, but there they were. Okay. And God's working on them. Okay. So for 3 years, I led a Celebrate Recovery program, which is a Christ-centered Alcoholics Anonymous program, right? And so in recovery, we have this, we have a lot of acronyms, but one of the acronyms we had is the word HALT, H-A-L-T. H is hunger, A is angry, L is lonely, and T is tired. So oftentimes when we are in distress and we're grumbling and we're irritated, at least one of those four things is going on. We're either hungry, or we're angry, or we're lonely, or we're tired. And if we think through those four things, we have, okay, that's what's going on. That's really what's happening. Okay, let's deal with this. Now think about the Israelites. They were hungry. They were angry. They probably weren't too lonely because they had a lot of other Israelites with them, right? But they were tired. So they had three of those four things, and only one of those sometimes can put us quite in a turmoil. They had three of them. So they're angry. So God is trying to teach them when they're hurt, angry, and tired. So when we get in those environments, remember, this can be a moment when God can speak to you. Maybe there's something that you can learn from this environment if we just maybe calm down, take a few minutes, just spend some time with God. It doesn't matter where you are. You can stop at the end of the sidewalk and talk with God and find out, what is God teaching me about what I'm going through right now? Because right? This is what God did in this environment coming through. Right? All right, let's go back to Scripture. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, I am about to rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day that I may test them, whether they will walk in my law or not." All right, so a day's portion. Not an overabundance, not an underabundance, just a day's portion. What does my body need to survive one day to eat? Okay. And they're only supposed to pick a day's portion. So it's not that smorgasbord where we can fill our plate to overflowing, you know, and as much as we want and go back and eat and then maybe sometimes throw half of it away. God is commanding that they just pick a day's portion. And this is for everybody. It didn't matter what your rank was, if there were ranks before they ever ended up in Egypt and whatever. Everybody gets a day's portion. That's it. Equality coming through. And it was to test them, whether they will walk in my law or not. Can they obey this? Just picking a day's portion. They're hungry, right? On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily. All right, day six. What happens on day seven? What did God do on day seven? He rested, yes. And so God is also teaching them that they are to rest on day seven. So he's going to provide double the food on the sixth day so that they can prepare everything on the sixth day, so that on the seventh day they have food to eat, but they're not working. They're not preparing the food. They don't have to pick up the food and so forth, right? So teach them that environment, how to live our life, right? Here are our seventh day, right? Our Sabbath, right? Are we trying to do that? It's hard, isn't it? In today's world, it is hard to keep the Sabbath and keep that day where we're not going to work, we're not going to do all this stuff, we're just going to be with God. It's hard. It's hard. Okay. Where am I? Here I am. Okay. All right. So then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, come near before the Lord, for you grumble. He has heard your grumbling." And as soon as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the people of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord said to Moses, "I have heard the grumbling of the people of Israel. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." God heard their grumbling, but do you notice what he responded back with? Remember, their grumbling was, back in Egypt, we had a meat pot and we had bread to fill us full. Right? So what is God providing? In the evening they get meat, and in the morning they get bread. Okay? So he's not providing them with something that they didn't ask for. He's meeting their need, exactly what they'd look for. So they want this pot of meat and they want bread. So God says, okay. And why? So that you can know who I am. Know that I will provide you with your needs, and you can trust me that I'm going to do this every day. Every evening I'm going to give you meat. Every morning I'm going to give you bread. Okay. All right, so the second Exodus. Has anybody heard that phrase? It's out there. It has a couple of different variation interpretations of what it is. But one that kind of stands out for me is Jesus' time on earth is oftentimes referred to as being the second Exodus. So let's kind of do a comparison here. You know, Moses, before he led the people out of Egypt, performed some miracles, right? What was one of the first things that Jesus did in his ministry? He performed miracles, correct? Okay. And then Moses led his people out of slavery, out of bondage to Egypt, right? What was Jesus' role? Jesus led his people too. Led us out of that bondage of sin. Correct? So there's that same concept. Wilderness, the desert. Jesus went into the wilderness and the desert. Sometimes bringing some of the apostles with him, sometimes not. But in the wilderness, when he went there, he talked with his Father. And he prayed to his Father. And he got guidance from his Father. Same as what's happening now to the people of Israel in the desert. They're receiving guidance from their Father, too, while they're in a wilderness. So, have you been in a wilderness? Maybe not. Say, I've never been in the desert. You don't have to be in the desert to be in a wilderness. You're in a wilderness when you're kind of separated from what's comfortable for you. You're in this kind of strange place. Don't know what's going on. Kind of lost. Great place for a connection with God, right? So for me, that happened when my granddaughter Emma was born. So my daughter is a dermatologist, and at the time that Emma was born, she was a resident in dermatology. So for those of you in knowledge of what goes on when you're a medical student, she'd be on call two nights in a row and be working all day. And her husband is an emergency room physician, and he worked the night shift and some rotating shifts. So for them to have a baby and provide daycare for her, daycare didn't always keep that child until 9 o'clock at night when Mama finally made it home, right? So I agreed to retire from the college and head on up to Ohio where they were and help with the baby. Thinking, oh, no problem, I'll get up there, I'll find a church, I can connect and be back in my environment. Well, that didn't happen. I did find a church right away, and I joined the band, and I thought, this is awesome, this is great. 2 months later, the church closed their doors. I was thinking, what is this, right? So where my daughter had moved, it was a city that was entirely a Jewish city. And Christian churches had a very, very hard time surviving in this city. I had never lived in that environment for me before. This was very strange for me. We went many different stores just to find the plastic Easter eggs come Easter time, because they're not in there. They don't sell those in the stores in this city, because the Jewish don't have Easter eggs for their culture, right? So it was a whole different environment. So I was there for 2 years, and I never found a church home, which is very strange. So it was difficult. I felt in a wilderness. But it was a great time for God to work on me, because that was all I had. I had my Bible, I had my books, I had my scriptures, all kinds of things. But I didn't have that feeling that we get when we come to church and we're involved. And I've been very involved in churches in the past. And so God slowed me down, took me away from all my commitments to the church, all the times that I'd volunteer in Graceway Village. It was when I stopped leading the Bible study at Graceway Village, is that environment. But it was worth it. I learned to trust, because trust is one of my issues from past environments. And I learned to trust. I learned to trust God, and I also learned to trust other people. So, you know, God worked on me. What was this? I'm thinking, you know, what is this? Why am I in this Jewish community with no church? Why can I not find a church home here? Okay, God's like, you don't need the whole church body right now. You just need me. Just need me. Let me work on you. It was awesome. Then we went to Texas. My daughter had a fellowship in Texas, in Houston, so we were in Houston for a year. And I did find some churches there, and it was great because I kind of bounced around among churches just to see different environments and what was going on. So God led me back there. Now my daughter, praise the Lord, moved back here and is living in Stewart. So now I can come back and get back into my comfort zone where my accountability group lives and my peeps and my friends and my church environments and so forth. So it's been pretty awesome. But God has plans. So when God changes your plan, be open to it and realize there is a plan from God that is going to work through you, and let him do it. Let him work it. Let him work it. Let him work it. All right, so in the evening, quail came up and covered the camp, and in the morning dew lay around the camp. Morning dew lay around. So quail came. Right? That's a bird, right? Small bird, not real big. So God told him he was going to provide meat in the evenings, and what was that meat? A bird. Yeah. But think about this. They're in the desert. Now, steak's awesome, right? That side of beef, you know, to eat, and the whole works. How long does it take to cook a steak in the desert, but you have a fire going with sticks? Someone is going to have to stand over that fire and cook that entire beef, right? Or whatever it is that they're eating. Maybe they're eating camels, whatever. But if they're really going to have that big meat pot going, someone in the desert, in that heat, has to stand there and cook it. I wouldn't want that job. I don't know about you. That's a hard one. But if you think about a bird, they're small. Doesn't take as long to cook, right? So a little bit more apt of what's coming out there. And a bird may not fill them up completely to that full part where we eat that big steak and we're like, we're just ready to lay on the couch and just, you know, fly out. They probably don't want to do that in the heat, because I know during the summer when it's really, really hot and you're not always going to be in the air conditioning, it's a little bit better to eat a little bit less, because your body just works a little bit better then, right? So they had quail. They had their meat. And then in the morning when the dew had gone up, there was on the face of the wilderness this fine flake-like thing, fine as frost on the ground. And when the people of Israel saw it, they said to one another, "What is it? What is this? What is this stuff, right? What is this? What is this?" For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." Think they had that look on their face when they saw that stuff on the grass or on the dew? What is this, right? Or what is this? Curiosity. Or me like, what is this? They had no idea what it was, but they ate it, right? And they kept saying, what is this? What is this? What is this? What is this? Okay. In English, we say, what is this? In Hebrew, they say, manna, 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 was the words to say, what is this? What is it? Okay. And because they said this so many times, because they had no idea what to call this food that God had given them, this bread in the morning, that manna got a second definition. Not only was it to say, what is this? But manna also became the word for that bread that God was going to bring to them every morning. Manna. Good word. Let's go back to that second Exodus again. I didn't quite complete the story of Jesus, did I? Moses and his people received bread. They received manna every morning. And this was a bread of life, right? To keep them sustained so they can stay alive in the desert. God gave his people that bread, that manna. Jesus comes along, and Jesus is the bread, right? Jesus is the manna of a different sort. Okay? So this manna in the desert was only given to God's chosen people at that time, which were the Israelites. But Jesus, our bread of life, our manna, is given for all humanity. It's given for everybody. Right? So this second Exodus concept has a whole different meaning. It applies to everyone. No matter where, what country we live in, you know, what our gender is, what our age is, what our careers are, whatever. This bread of life from Jesus is for all. Right? But the bread of life, the manna in the desert, was our forerunner to that. So in a minute, we're going to be saying the Lord's Prayer, our Father. And one of those verses in there is about this day, give us our daily bread, right? Okay. So when Jesus told them, this is how you should pray, and he told them that they should pray about this bread of life, what do you think they were thinking of when they heard that? You think they were thinking of Jesus as being their bread of life? Or were they being reminded of this story of their past, of being pulled out of Egypt, and that God provided manna to sustain them as they were moving forward, right? But that wasn't Jesus' intention. Jesus' intention of praying for that daily bread coming in was Jesus coming into our lives. Okay? So hopefully you'll have just maybe a different perspective when you're saying the Our Father. When you talk about that bread of life, that manna coming in, and maybe make a connection between the two Exodus trips, okay? And realize now that this bread of life is not just for me, not just for you, it's for everybody. And that really is how God wants us to walk in our way, to walk in the way of the Lord, right? Is to realize that Jesus is not just for me, Jesus is here for everybody. This bread of life is not just mine, it's everybody's, regardless. Doesn't matter if we're angry at them right now, or if we're happy with them right now, Jesus is still their bread of life. Right? We share it with everybody. And equality, and we take just our portion, and we try to live that way that God was teaching them to live in the desert. Can we do that as well? Can we walk in the way of the Lord? Right. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for the story of being in a wilderness, Lord, and how you save your people, all of your people. And may we remember that when we are in our own wilderness, and there are some of us right now who are there, and there are others of us who have been there, and there are those who are yet to come. And during these times, may we rely on you, and may we trust you that you are going to give us what is needed to sustain us, Lord. Today and always, you will do that. Okay? And so may we speak as Jesus taught us to pray, and really concentrate on that bread, that daily bread we're going to get. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sin debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.